The following is the class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 15th Chapter, text number 48, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on March 15th, 1992, at the South Trinidad Temple.
They are: engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Purport. The transcendental bliss enjoyed by the devotees of the Lord is completely different from the material happiness enjoyed by less intelligent persons. The less intelligent persons in the material world are engaged by the four principles of benediction called dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Generally, they prefer to take to religious life to achieve some material benediction, the purpose of which is to satisfy the senses. When by that process they become confused or frustrated in fulfilling the maximum amount of sense enjoyment, they try to become one with the Supreme, which is, according to their conception, mukti or liberation. There are five kinds of liberation, the least important of which is called sa-yuja, to become one with the Supreme. Devotees don't care for such liberation because they are actually intelligent. Nor are they inclined to accept any of the other four kinds of liberation, namely to live on the same planet as the Lord, to live with Him side by side as an associate, to have the same opulence, and to attain the same bodily features. They are concerned only with glorifying the Supreme Lord and His auspicious activities. Pure devotional service is Shravanam Kirtanam. Pure devotees who take transcendental pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord do not care for any kind of liberation. Even if they are offered the five liberations, they refuse to accept them as stated in the Bhagavatam in the third canto. Materialistic persons aspire for the sense enjoyment of heavenly pleasure in the heavenly kingdom. But devotees reject such material pleasure at once. The devotee does not even care for the post of Indra. A devotee knows that any pleasurable material position is subject to be annihilated at a certain point. Even if one reaches the post of Indra, Chandra, or any demigod, he must be dissolved at a certain stage. A devotee is never interested in such temporary pleasure. From Vedic scriptures, it is understood that sometimes even Brahma and Indra fall down. But a devotee in the transcendental abode of the Lord never falls. This transcendental stage of life, in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes, is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was talking with Ramananda Rai, there were varieties of suggestions offered by Ramananda regarding spiritual realization. But Lord Chaitanya rejected all but one, that one should hear the glories of the Lord in association with pure devotees. That is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age. One should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastitadi Tatarane. The verse and purport give great stress on the importance of hearing about the activities of Krishna. This activity of Shravanam is engaged in by those who are very intelligent and expert, and they become so satisfied in this activity that if they're offered any kind of liberation from material suffering or in the spiritual liberations. And if they're offered material pleasures, they're not interested in them. There are 9 kinds of devotional service mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Bandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. But in this purport, there is stress given to one, which is the first one, Shravanam. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada tells about the discussion of Lord Chaitanya with Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy to describe the perfection of religion. So Ramananda Roy began to say different things, starting with, he said, you should do your duties in Varnashram, and in that way you can please the Lord. So that's true. Everything Ramananda Roy said was true, and it was from the scriptures. But they were considered to be external by Lord Chaitanya. Just because something is true and not false doesn't mean it's the best thing. It may be just a partial truth. For example, we say it is good if people pray to God when they want material wealth or they want freedom from material distress. And Krishna calls such people Sukritina, or pious. However, that's not the ultimate truth. So you have to be aware that the Vedic teachings are given like that. There's even injunctions that if you want to eat meat, then you can do it. It's not forbidden. But certain animals only are slaughtered, and under certain very restricted conditions can you do it. But we should know that that's not recommended for somebody who's on a slightly higher platform. Actually, it's not recommended at all. It's a dharma. But because the Vedas are very compassionate and want to bring everyone within their jurisdiction, so these adharma activities are sanctioned and they become dharma. But they're actually cheating dharma. Dharma projita kaitabo to paramo nirmatsaram. We certainly, we are engaged in Krishna consciousness, which is a non-cheating religion. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't have any of those lesser dharmas in it. So we should never have this mentality, this cheating, bargaining mentality, which asks of the scriptures and of the Lord, what is the least I can get away with? Or rather, what's the most material activity I can do and get away with? What's the most sense gratification I can do and is still within the laws of religion? Please tell me. This inquiry from the spiritual master or from the Lord is really very poor. But if you ask on that level, they will reply. As Krishna says, yayatam am papajante tam sitava bhajamiham. As they approach me, I reciprocate. But if one is more intelligent, he asks, he thinks, why should I be making all these deals with Krishna and cheating? I want to understand the topmost happiness, the topmost way to please Krishna. So we ask like that. Then we're told more confidential knowledge. So Ramananda Roy said, the perfection of religion is Varnashram Dharma. No, Lord Chaitanya said, that's external. Say something better. Well, then he thought and said, well then, to reject material life and to give it up and to take sannyas. No, Lord Chaitanya said, just changing the ashram, that's not going to purify a person, especially if he tries to do it prematurely. Say something better. Then he said, to meditate and have a mixture of philosophical speculation with bhakti yoga. No, Lord Chaitanya said, that mixture is impure. So in this way, he's said about 4 or 5 things. And then he said one thing. that was finally accepted as the basis for pure devotional service. And his acceptable statement was a quote from the 10th canto from the prayers of Lord Brahma, after Lord Brahma has stolen the cows and calves and then been humiliated by Krishna, who exposed Lord Brahma's tiny potency. Then Lord Brahma made very nice prayers glorifying Krishna, and he said, one should not try to understand Krishna by speculation. And he also said, he spoke personally and said he was very sorry for his presumption to be as great as God, and that now he accepted that Krishna in his small form as a cowherd boy was actually the absolute truth. In that inconceivable form, with his inconceivable pastimes, he appears to be like an uneducated village boy playing with his flute tucked in his belt and in his hand some combination of fruit and yogurt, and the boys are just playing, and Krishna's sometimes playing the flute. It was that scene that Lord Brahma saw and did not think it was very wonderful. When he saw Krishna sitting in the midst of all the boys were in circles around him, one circle, then another circle, then another circle. And Krishna was in the center, like the middle of the lotus, and they were all eating lunch. And Krishna was joking, and each boy thought, I'm face to face with Krishna and no one else but me and Krishna. And each one was feeling so fortunate. And Krishna was fulfilling everyone's desire. In his non-majestic aspect as the best friend and equal. But Lord Brahma thought, I am the Lord of the universe, and this is taking place within my universe, so if Krishna is within my universe, he's subject to me. Not only that, but look at what he's doing. Compared to the things that I do, riding in my swan and having so many worshippers in my kingdom, he's just playing in the forest. And yet, I understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but now I wonder, let me play a trick showing my power and we'll see what happens. But as soon as Lord Brahma did that, a moment later, in Brahma's time, which was a year in the earth's time, Brahma regretted it. He thought, what have I done? I'm playing with fire. Krishna, something's going to happen for this audacious act of mine. So that Krishna showed him that actually from the tiny form of Krishna, all the Shivas and Brahmas and all time and space is coming. And Brahma became very sorry, and he said his prayers. So another important thing he said was the statement that was quoted by Ramananda Roy. Jnana prayasa udapasyana manta eva jivanti san mukaritan bhavadiyavartam stane stita sudigitam tanavan manovir ye prayaso jicha titopi asitai strilokyam. Which means, it's translated here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. You are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. Sometimes in translating, Prabhupada fills out the translation. He makes it a little bit of a purport at the same time. So he's included here that you should not only hear about Krishna, but at the same time, you should follow the four rules. But other than that, you don't have to change things. You can stay in any ashram that you're in and just hear about Krishna. This very topmost activity is very accessible for every one of us to do. And until we develop a taste for this, we certainly cannot complete our Krishna consciousness. Last night we were talking about finishing up your business. Finishing up business, it implies getting rid of the material duties that I have taken on in this world. Finish them up. When you finish it, just like in work, if you have a certain work to do, when you finish it up, then you can go home, then you can do what you want to do, you're free. But first you have to finish your work. It may be in an office you have a stack of papers that you have to go through, some forms to... Or if you are a laborer, it's a big mound of sand and you have to move all that sand. So there's a certain amount of work. Finish it and then you're free. So our material obligations are like that. But that's only one side of it, getting the pile reduced. No more desires. The other part of it is attraction to Krishna. If you just reduce the pile of duties in this world, then you don't go back to Godhead. There's no particular love there. There's just detachment. That's the Buddhist philosophy. They say all suffering is caused by this accumulation of desires and reactions from past desires. So understand that this is simply causing you suffering. Meditate on this truth and reduce it to nothing. But what do you have? You have nothing. You don't have any duties, but you have nothing. They say, yes, that's everything. Everything is nothing, nirvana. But we say, no, that is not everything. In fact, that is such a desert of nothing that we will desire to have something rather than nothing. We'll say, oh, look, there's nothing at all. If I have no, Prabhupada used to say, if I tell you to leave the room, then you want to know, where should I go next? If you have no idea, no direction, where you go when you leave the room, then you may want to just stay in the room. So similarly, although this material world is unhappy, we have to know where to go upon leaving this place. And to do that, you have to develop attraction to the pastimes of Krishna, and that's done by hearing about Krishna. So the Krishna consciousness movement gives this opportunity to all the guests, and even more so to the devotees who are supposed to have developing taste for this. To do this in the morning class, that is not enough. That is a start. We should also on our own read about Krishna's activities in Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna book and discuss them with other devotees. Think about what Krishna is doing, just as we described a little briefly about the pastime of Brahma stealing the cows and calves. So there are so many literatures by the six Goswamis and Rupa Goswami especially in Nectar of Devotion and all these wonderful activities and rasas of Krishna. They should be heard and discussed by devotees. So to bring this out some more, the importance of hearing about Krishna, look at a few points that Prabhupada makes in his purport of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Ramananda Roy said that verse, one should hear about Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya said, finally, this is nice, what you just said, I finally accepted. I rejected everything else you said, but this is all right. However, speak some more on this subject. So even to hear about, if I say you should hear about Krishna, that's acceptable. But now we have to hear more and more about Krishna up to a certain stage. Ramananda, when Lord Chaitanya said, speak some more, Ramananda Roy replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality is the essence of all perfection. Ecstatic love, an English expression, comes from Sanskrit words like bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. We have to hear, not only as another kind of duty, but we have to hear with love and attraction. And then Krishna becomes attracted to the devotee who is hearing about him in that way. Krishna is not attracted to a person who is praying for material benedictions. Krishna may give them, And then the worshipper will be very satisfied. I prayed to God and I got what I wanted. But Krishna wasn't satisfied with that exchange. Then even if you do your Krishna conscious duties, but you don't do them, you don't develop an attraction for them, then Krishna won't be satisfied. He won't be attracted to your devotional service. He's attracted to spontaneous devotional service. So we have to practice, but do it so nicely and in such a way that gradually we develop the taste. And then we have to go to that stage. If we're not in that stage now, we should know, don't be depressed about it, but know that I have a long way to go. I have not yet entered the stage of really liking to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. So I have to keep practicing intensely to reach this stage. Now Prabhupada says in the purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this verse, which was spoken by Ramananda Roy, Jnana Prayasam, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. The first stage is technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also called prema bhakti. When we hear about Krishna, those pastimes are entirely spiritual. They come from the spiritual world, and they have nothing to do with material activities. Any other religious duties we do up until that point, they are part of this material world. They are religion, but it's religion for this world, like ethical codes and some religious principles. Don't tell lies. Don't commit illicit sex. Don't kill animals. Be nonviolent. These are religious activities for this world, but there's no trace of the eternal spiritual world in them. They're necessary in order to become a good enough person so that you can hear about Krishna, but you have to go beyond them. Therefore, when Ramananda Roy said all these very good things about Varnashram, Lord Chaitanya wanted to hear some nectar. He wanted to be on the liberated platform, not talk about these lower things. So he said, that's not external, that's external, that's external. Then when he finally said, to hear Krishna Katha, to hear what Krishna is doing in his pastimes in the spiritual world, then Lord Chaitanya said, now we can talk. Now let's talk some more. Let's go beyond this, but this will be the guiding principle. And from everything that we'll discuss now, will all be based on the principle of pure spiritual activities of what Krishna is doing in the spiritual world. So one may think, I'm not ready for that. I'm still in this world. I'm struggling in this world. How can I hear about advanced topics? I'm not even doing my practice duties yet, the four rules and the 16 rounds, because I'm supposed to do it. Like, I'm not doing that yet. How can I live in the spiritual world with Krishna? But Krishna is very kind, and especially in his form of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. And they're giving us the opportunity to participate in the activities of the spiritual world even while we live in this world. Therefore he says that they can, surrendering themselves, they can live in any ashram or social status, but you are conquered by such persons. This is not my idea, my opinion. Although I very much like it, and I very much agree with it, and I want to urge you to do it, and I want to urge myself to do it. But fortunately, it's not my opinion. But the strength and the emphasis of it is coming from the Prabhupada's purport. And it is it's very surprising, but it's very welcome. So much stress is being made that the expert and intelligent people are hearing of the narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, and they don't care for any other achievements. So why are we working for other things? We have all these other duties and ideas. Well, we can't give them up. And if you try to give them up all, that will be not possible. So then, even while we're stuck in the midst of other inferior activities, bring Krishna in. Isn't that what we tell to people when we first meet them, even before they can give up the four rules, the four sinful activities? We say, or they say, I have some other religion, and I'm very busy with this and that. We say, all right, don't change what you're doing. Just add the chanting. Add it to what you're doing. We know that what they're doing is nonsense, but we can't tell them, stop everything that you're doing and do this spiritual activity. They can't respond to that. So we say, just add this. Really, our intention is that if you begin to add this, eventually you'll like it so much that you'll get rid of the other. So we go in like a needle, hoping to come out like a plow. We do that in preaching to others, and we do it with our own self. So the needle, to penetrate into the earth, into the dry earth, the barren earth of our present engagements, in which we're struggling to get false goals, the injection is, hear about Krishna, his purely spiritual activities. Never think that they are stories only, make-believe, or that, don't think that they're not for you, that they're too advanced. But take time every day to enter this spiritual world. And associate with persons who are doing this. They are your best friends. They are the most valuable people. They're like touchstones. This is not an overbearing message, not a heavy thing to have to consider. Why is he preaching so heavy? It's very light, very enjoyable to hear about Krishna. But we have to find some room in our life. And you may think, oh, I have no room, it's all filled up. But you have to find an opening and put in this thing that if you're not doing it now, put in talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna. Then you'll have some actual wonderful thing in your life of activities. Otherwise, not. As Prabhupada ends his purport, he says, this is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age. One should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. So, I'll stop here for any questions or comments.
When the devotee will be preaching to the public and church, devotee will be stressing about the sensitiveness to the public as to how they will reciprocate the Krishna consciousness. Here you are reading about the Varna Ashram system, the explanation about that was mentioned and is considered to be like secondary. What should be the actual mood of a devotee in approaching the entire society and preaching the Krishna consciousness?
We should preach very preliminary, elementary way in the beginning, not in a confidential way. So this message to say that everything else is unimportant, Varnashram is unimportant, that may not be possible to tell people in the beginning. Although if you can tell them that you do this, and then there'll be more that you can do, and more that you can do, you'll find out later. All the wonderful spiritual activities. But for the beginning, you should get yourself in the right varna and ashram, and follow religious codes. So, if we teach the lower or beginning part of Krishna consciousness to the public, and not start talking about advanced subjects, that's That's proper preaching. We can hint, or Prabhupada is already hinting, like you, just by the covers of his books and everything, that there is a spiritual world and Krishna is there. But we may not immediately talk so much about that. We may, although we do very quickly tell them that they should try to chant. We can't just talk about mundane codes. We have to give them a taste so that they can give up the sinful life. So the first taste we give is, we may say, these things are very bad. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and so on. You'll get bad karma, you'll suffer. They'll say, well, but I can't give it up. We say, well, you try to chant the names of Krishna. This is pure spiritual sound. It'll give you a taste, and you'll be able to feel detached from these things. So some purely spiritual instruction has to be given in the beginning. I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at by your question, but although I said Varnashram is external and like less important, still it's important when it's lacking. It becomes very important. So we have to preach according to time and place and persons. When Ramananda Roy was speaking to Lord Chaitanya, that was a very elevated talk, of course, such persons as them. So Lord Chaitanya... But Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram also because he thought, not only that he wasn't interested in it as a sannyasi, but he thought it wasn't possible for people in general to do everything first and then take the spiritual life. You know, first we get situated right in Varna and Ashram, then we do this, then we do that, then we do this, and then after we're all ready, we'll hear about Krishna. So he said, no, right away hear about Krishna. That also can be done in our preaching to the public. But we don't reveal the intimate glories of the Lord to people who aren't faithful. You can, for basic preaching, you can see Prabhupada's, anytime he spoke to the public, the things that he taught, how the material world is Maya, we're eternal soul, Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He'll preach like that. And if people are a little more qualified, initiated devotees, then we can stress the Shravanam, Kirtanam. Is that all right? Someone else? Yes. Who was given that benediction? Well, yeah, the benediction is given according to the devotee. So that devotee who the Lord gives a blessing like that, he has a strong desire for material happiness, but also he wants to go back to Godhead. So he gets both. Dhruva Maharaj, he mostly wanted material benediction. Then when he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, he said, I don't want the material benediction, I just want you. But Krishna saw into his heart and said, no, I know you want material benediction too. So I'll give you that. I'll give it to you for thousands of years. And then when it's done and you're satisfied, then you'll come back to me without fail. And he blessed him and went away. And when he went away, Dhruva Maharaj was feeling very unhappy. Oh, he said, what have I done? I got the darshan of the Lord, but I asked for nonsense things. So then he had to live on this world and enjoy before he could go back to Godhead. But he had to do that because that's just the way he had those desires still. So Krishna was very kind to give him both. But with another person, Krishna might deal in a different way. Krishna is independent. So sometimes there's that verse that yasya hamanugranami harisya tatanam shanai. Krishna says, if I find somebody who has both material desire and spiritual desire, my special blessing is that I smash his material life. And then he has nothing left materially, but he's so sincere about me that he just turns to me. He's left with nothing else but me. So that would be the opposite of the benediction to the tailor. Then there's another example. Lord Chaitanya, who was playing as a human being in Navadvip, was one day, he was offended, and then by one Brahmin. He neglected that Brahmin, and then the Brahmin cursed Lord Chaitanya with his Brahminical curse and said, I curse you that in your life you'll never have any material happiness. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy. Oh, thank you very much. No material happiness. He didn't want material happiness. So if there's no material happiness, then I'll just have spiritual happiness. So that was the opposite benediction, rather that you will get material happiness. But that's for a person who's already reached a stage that he doesn't want it, that he doesn't need it, and he wants renunciation and spiritual happiness. So sometimes Krishna will give you both. But if he gives you both, then you'll be delayed in going back to Godhead. You'll have to first enjoy the material happiness, which is anyway inferior. And then when it's finished, then you can go back to Godhead. So the more intelligent position is to go as soon as possible. And don't be afraid that, oh, if Krishna takes away my material happiness, I will be unhappy. But Krishna says, is another statement by him, by the Lord, he says, sometimes devotees, they are foolish, and they want both me and material happiness at the same time. But I am more intelligent than they are. So I will replace their material desires with the taste of my lotus feet, so that they won't feel unhappy without the material happiness. So the Lord does that. Therefore we see advanced souls, materially they may have no money, their family life is reduced, even they may have physical maladies, but they're in the liberated platform just thinking and chanting about Krishna. So Krishna has replaced their material activity with the taste of his lotus feet. But if we don't get the taste of Krishna consciousness, and also material happiness is taken away, then we'll be very unhappy. It's individual, so we should rest assured that Krishna is dealing with each of us in the way that's best for us and according to our desires. Krishna sees that we're not that anxious to go back to Godhead, we're not that courageous to give up our material attachments, so he won't do it so quickly. And that's what we want, but it's not really the best. Behind our prayers, it's not stated, but in our mind we're thinking, but Krishna, don't take away my material desires and happiness too fast. So Krishna says, all right, don't worry. You can keep it. Come back for more. Until you understand. So here we're reading about the platform, which is not simply material renunciation, but this craving for Krishna, Krishna's activities. I want to hear about Krishna. I want to chant Hare Krishna. I want to be with Krishna and serve Krishna and glorify him. And this is the positive platform. Where concern for ourself is replaced with concern for Krishna. Krishna is a person. Now we're concerned with ourself or with our family, but a pure devotee is concerned with Krishna and with giving him pleasure and with wanting to hear about Krishna, what Krishna is doing. The services that we do now, any service that you have in connection with this movement, it's a form of practice to help build up to the point where we actually want to serve Krishna out of love. Not for any reward, but just the reward of doing it. If you don't know what that is, it means you don't know love. You've never experienced love. Love means when you actually want to please another person. And it's not that you're thinking you want to get something from them, but you love them so much, you're attracted to them, that you want to please them. And that gives you happiness. So when that love is focused on Krishna, then you have prema bhakti. Until then, we have different kinds of religion, which are not pure, because they're not based on love. They're either based on what you'll get from God, or they may be based on fear of his power, a fear of punishment. That's not pure bhakti. Or they're based on the idea that if I do these, I'll gain salvation. Yes. Exactly sure of the question. I understand the comment that you're making, that is that often mercy does come in the form of a slap from the material nature, and we fail to see that as Krishna's mercy. It can be taken as mercy in that it will turn us away from being materially ambitious and make us more serious to attain Krishna. But what exactly is your question? How can we reciprocate with Krishna when he blesses us by some material suffering?
Yeah, I continually pray, and then we can see, and then we describe such an arrangement that becomes much stronger, and then you get left aside, and you go on praying again. Tell me, how Krishna reciprocates with us continually praying.
Well, he can't reciprocate with us, but he's more intelligent than we are, so he doesn't just reciprocate 50-50. Sometimes if you pray impurely, he takes the good part of it, and he doesn't listen to the bad part. Sometimes we can even pray like that. But Krishna, in my prayers, there are some material things, but please don't consider them. I'm just talking nonsense when I say that. Just listen to the part where I say, I want to be your pure devotee. The other part I don't actually mean. And if we can say that, or even if we don't say it, Krishna will take the good side. But if we steadily approach Krishna with impure motives, then he'll let us be impure. He's letting all the non-devotees remain stubbornly outside of his mercy. They just want some material thing, and they get it. So it takes the touch of association with the pure devotee to enlighten us and bring us up to the point where our desires and prayers are at least sincere enough, and we're situated nicely enough that Krishna starts giving us what's really good for us, what's really going to bring us happiness. Otherwise, yes, we'll pray for something material and get it, and then we get kicked. But you get kicked, being kicked does not necessarily make you intelligent. The donkey gets kicked and kicked, and he doesn't get enlightened. So we need to be picked up by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the messages of Krishna. Then if we do get kicked, we'll take it in the right way. That Krishna is just getting me out of this material attachment by showing me I cannot be happy in this world. See, that the fault that a devotee or any religious person could fall into is to become religious and like it very much, but at the same time keep material desires and think, this is the perfect combination to live in this world in a mode of goodness and not have all kinds of nasty bad habits, to be in God's graces and to enjoy material life. I will do this, I will live like this. And if you do that, then you don't have so much desire to develop love for Krishna exclusively and to serve him in the spiritual world. You're content to stay in this world and be a good person. So sometimes to such a person, if the material side starts to be suffering, then he thinks, I can't do this. I can't actually enjoy this material world. So I should just go concentrate on Krishna and the spiritual side. It's that person who can receive the kick in the right way, but the donkey cannot receive the kick in the right way. So, I've used up the time. I'll stop now. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.